Tango Tango Papa, 1677, August 11th, 2012.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Actually, it's, it's Gordon, Pennsylvania. Let's see, so I had unloaded, it's several days ago over in New Jersey. And so the company wanted to know if I wanted to haul Walmart stuff for a while. And, that was fine. And so I have been doing that for the past few days. So I'm kind of basically making lots of trips, kind of round trips between Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And I guess that could also end up being Philadelphia as well. But it's basically, there's a lot of, so far I've been doing this, for about 3 days. And so I'm going to New Jersey quite a bit. So it's kind of interesting. It's dangerously close to New York City, which I would not want to go to. I avoid that place like the plague. But, the New Jersey isn't quite as bad. And they make it pretty easy because, of course, I've got the GPS and everything. But they make it easy. They also print out a thing that tells you exactly how to get to each place. So that makes it not quite as bad, because you got exact written instructions on, how to get from here to there and there to here and here to there and so on and so forth. So kind of interesting. See, it's kind of different thing to do. Before I go on, I want to talk a bit about GoToMeeting. You know, the very best apps, as I've said before, the very best apps on an iPod or an iPad or any kind of a smartphone or even your computer. So the very best apps will take, the designer decides, which elements are needed, to complete a task. And when they pull it off, they really pull it off well. And, so there are certain apps I've mentioned, like my banking app on my iPod, the Nest thermostat that I have at home, and there are other apps that just make it really easy and to do what you want them to do. And, even though there's a tremendous variety of ways you can do different things. And so that's why I want to talk a bit about GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. Because GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix is one of those applications that it really is able to, because of the way it's designed, the way it's put together, they've got exactly what you need in order to conduct online meetings. So this summer, you and your team will probably be working from different locations. But just because you're away from the office doesn't mean that business stops. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. You can meet online with clients and colleagues from anywhere. GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. You can even participate in an HD Faces meeting from your iPad, so you can connect from wherever you are, from a vacation at the beach, at a park with your kids, or even in your own backyard. You'll love GoToMeeting with HD Faces. You can work smarter this summer with GoToMeeting with HD Faces. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for the special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST. So, stumbled through that. So, anyway, I'm kind of I'm driving about between 300 and 400 miles a day on this, and that's enough. And so I'll do this for a few days, and now I don't know exactly how many days I've been gone, but I'll try to get home. Today would be the 11th. It's after midnight, so I'm going to try to make it home just before the end of the month, for more time off, and my parents were talking about heading back to South Texas maybe towards the end of the month, and so, like to be able to spend a few more days with them before they go back. So, that's the plan. So I don't know how many more days I'll be doing this. Initially they said 7 days, and so we'll just kind of see what happens. But so far so good. It's different. I don't know if I would want to do it all the time, but so far so good. So let me see. In the last podcast, I had mentioned this encounter that I had with, in this Flying J truck stop. This gal came up to the counter, and I'm not going to repeat that story. But if you want to, go back to the prior podcast, and it was kind of an interesting encounter. But I also had another encounter. I don't know. I guess it happened either the same day or. I don't know, sometime, it was close to that. But in any case, I was at this dock. It was at night, and I was kind of standing outside the truck. My truck was backed into the door. And so there was this guy drove up. They'd given him the dock right next to mine. Of course, these are busy places. And this dock wasn't particularly difficult to back into. It was a relatively easy one. And so this guy came up, and first of all, he kind of had Howard Stern type hair. And if you've ever seen a picture of Howard Stern, he's kind of an older guy with just kind of hippie, really long hippie hair. And so this guy had really frizzy hair, and it was pretty long. It was down over his shoulders. He had really frizzy hair, and he probably was in his 40s, I would guess. So in any case, told him, or I think initially he asked where the receiving office was, and so I was standing there with this other driver. We told him wherever it was, and so he went in, and then he came back out, and then he was backing into the dock next to me. Now, so I was just still standing there, so I just kind of, instead of standing right beside my door, I moved around to the front of the truck, and of course I had my iPod, and a lot of times I'm playing games on it, the Words with Friends game, I'll play quite a bit. So I was just, kind of ignoring him, and just standing, playing the game. And so he backed into the dock, and and then, after he got backed in, and then he had to, walk his paperwork back in, or he had to go back in. But as he was walking by, he said, "You could have helped." meaning that I should have helped him back in, like that he, you know, just because I was standing there, that I could have helped him, that I somehow, that I should have, or, you know, because I was, you know, and he said it in such a way that, you know, like I was part of his environment or something, and that I could have helped, you know, and, well, you know, so if it was really tight, it would have been one thing. I probably would have helped him, but, you know, this wasn't a particularly difficult dock to back into. And, you know, that's almost an insult, you know, if someone, you know, in the wrong situation, you know, it could be construed as an insult or to, you know, try to help somebody like that. But, you know, I just didn't feel like it was my job to do it. And, you know, I didn't feel motivated to do it, and I didn't do it. And, you know, most of the time, people don't want someone standing there watching them back up, you know, or back into a dock. It's much easier if somebody's just not standing there, or they're not watching you, not paying attention. It's just, you know, the way I look at it, you know, I would rather, you know, not have someone standing there watching me. But, so in any case, I don't know. I just, the way this guy's attitude was, he kind of came across as a little immature, you know, even though this guy was in his 40s. And so I don't know. I really don't have expectations of people one way or the other, you know, and you can't necessarily go by how people look, but, you know, when I see somebody that's, you know, like an older guy that has hair, you know, kind of down to his shoulders, and, you know, and especially this guy was, you know, his hair was really frizzy, and, you know, almost like a Weird Al Yankovic type hair, you know, that kind of thing, you know, except it was even longer than that. That, I don't know. If somebody's, you know, again, I don't care what people look like. I really don't. But, you know, in this case, this guy, I don't think he had ever really matured. And, you can't go by what people look like, you know, just, you know, judge them based on what they look like, or, you know, like, you know, something like that. But then on the other hand, this turned out, you know, the hair kind of turned out to be an indicator, maybe, that he has never really matured, and he kind of expects everyone to help him do his job, or sort of somehow help him through his life. And I don't know, that was kind of a weird thing, you know. He walked right, you know, you could have helped. And then whenever he came back, he just walked right by, you know, he just didn't stop or didn't talk to me anymore. But the way he said it, you know, he didn't leave time for me to respond or anything. He just kind of said that as he zipped by. So, I don't know. It's, there are a lot of people that have, you know, and it's been going on for a long time. People have spoiled their kids, and that's been going on for, you know, years now. This guy is probably a product of he could have been a product of the 60s or a product maybe of the 70s, you know, and chances are that his parents spoiled him, and he's never really matured, and he's kind of expecting the world to, I don't know if he expects the world, you know, owes him a living or owes him this or owes him that, but, obviously, he expects something, you know. He expects the world owes him something, you know. And I was kind of part of the world standing there, so. But it's, I don't know. These, you have sometimes I have these little interesting encounters with people, and it doesn't happen very often. Once in a while, I have an interesting encounter with somebody, and it's just, as I've said many times, I'm always observing people, constantly observing people, you know, how people act, you know, why do people do what they do, and as well as I'm observing myself, why do I do what I do, you know, what are my motivations, where do my motivations come from, you know, what motivates me, but sometimes you have some really interesting encounters. So, I don't know, I was looking on my iPod a while ago, the thing popped up, you know, the different, I've got a bunch of different apps, probably too many apps installed on that iPod because it's kind of sluggish anymore, but thing popped up and it said Romney, I guess it had narrowed down his choice of vice president running mate. And so, I don't know, there were like three or four names. The best name on there is probably Governor Christie of New Jersey. You know, I think he could really bring a lot to the ticket, and he could also, you know, probably, you know, sort of help Romney, especially dealing with what he's going to have to deal with, you know, if Romney's elected president, he's going to have to deal with some, you know, some really bad things and some raunchy people. And Christie is really adept at just instantly, you know, firing back, right in the moment, just thinking on his feet, and he can just come up with zingers and zing people right back. And there's probably nobody better in politics that I know of that's able to do that right now. And so I think Christie would be a great choice. Other than that, maybe Marco Rubio, kind of like him. I don't really, the Pawlenty, I'm not really too keen on. Let's see, what was it? Paul Ryan was another one that would probably be good. So my first choice would be Christie, and then if not Christie, then Rubio. So we'll see what Romney, you know, who he comes up with. But I think Christie would be a good choice. But you watch what Obama, you know, what they're doing. They're trying to demonize Romney as much as they possibly can, and that's all they can do. They don't have the Obama does not cannot run on his record. His record is an abomination. It's horrible. The country is basically the country's in decline. It's kind of falling apart, and everything he's doing is encouraging it to fall apart. Everything he's doing is encouraging it to, you know, taking advantage of the decline, taking advantage of the moral decline. And so all he can do is just try to demonize his opponent. And he's had a long history. If you go, but you know, you look at, you know, when he was in Chicago and what have you, that's a typical modus operandi for him. And the people that are helping him run for whatever office he's running for, is that they demonize the opponent or just get them to drop out. He's done that a time or two. Get the other person to drop out, and then he's the only one left standing. And so, you know, they're just out and out lying about Romney, you know, saying that basically he you know, they're trying to imply that he's a murderer. You know, the, you know, the, there's this ad, you know, where they've just completely lied and said that Romney, Bain Capital, there's a steel plant and they caused the sold the steel plant off for its assets or whatever, and this guy's wife got cancer and she died because, you know, she didn't have health insurance or whatever. And, you know, of course, it's, if you look at the actual facts, it doesn't work. The story doesn't work because he wasn't, you know, Romney wasn't in charge of Bain Capital at the time. And, you know, the guy's wife got cancer, you know, like 5 years after the fact, and she actually had health insurance for a couple of years. She worked in another place, and she actually did have health insurance for a couple of years. So the story really doesn't quite work. It's you know, just really lies. The whole thing is lies, but that's just one thing. And, you know, so they had a Harry Reid come out and say, the word is that he hasn't paid his taxes for 10 years. Well, give me a break. You know, somebody like Romney, if he didn't pay his taxes for 10 years, the IRS would be breathing, you know, he'd be in prison. You know, so there's, but that's all they can do is just demonize. So, but if Romney, I don't know, if Romney handles it right, it'll backfire on them. And a lot of the stuff has backfired. So it kind of remains to be seen. But if Obama ends up as president again, the country's finished. It really is finished. And I don't know how long it's going to take if Obama is president again, you know, for four more years. I don't know how long it's going to take, but just kind of plan on Armageddon. You know, plan on, don't know how long it's going to take to happen. It could happen very quickly. It could stretch on for a few years, but just plan on that. You know, plan on things not going very well. It's going to go from bad to worse. So, you know, and I think if Romney is able to get in, we might have a bit of a reprieve. So, but I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. But the real problem, you know, we want to blame the politicians. Everyone wants to blame the politicians, as I've said many times. The problem is that the real problem is our morals. The real problem is our lack of morality, our lack of genuine identity. There are too many people in the country that are programmed robots. They're simply programmed by their environment. People hang on to their animosity. They hang on to their resentment. And if you do that, sorry, you're a robot. You're just programmed by your environment. Whether you like it or not, you have this illusion. You think that you're really in charge of your own thoughts. You're not. You're just a wind-up robot, wind-up monkey. Programmed by your environment, responding to whatever the greatest force is. And we have to turn that around. If things are going to survive, that has to be turned around. We have to have, you know, you want to put it in terms of moral revival, spiritual revival. That's what has to happen, but it has to be genuine. It can't be fake. It's got to be a genuine thing. And I don't know, in order for the genuine thing to happen, I think we really do need dire circumstances. You know, there are some animals that if you have them in captivity, like in a zoo, for example, they almost, they're very difficult, they, you know, it's very difficult to breed animals in captivity. So there are certain animals that, you know, there's plenty of animals that you can breed in captivity without a problem. But there are certain animals that just cannot breed in captivity. But if they're in the wild, and they're in their, in a wild environment, that wild environment stresses them in certain ways. It's able to, you know, stress them in the right way where they're able to reproduce. But if you take the stress away, you put them in an artificial environment, they can't reproduce. And so in the same way, if, you know, I think in order for a genuine spiritual revival to take place, that requires dire circumstances. Now, it's unfortunate that it does, and the dire circumstances can be really dire, but so we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But, you know, again, we are not in charge of the experiment. You know, the life on planet Earth, we as human beings, you know, of course, we want to think we are, or that we've put ourselves in charge, but we're not. We are not in charge of the, you know, we may have dominion over the animals and dominion over the Earth, but we do not have dominion over the experiment. You know, so it would... So I don't believe that God would completely allow every person to destroy themselves. And the Bible basically says that, you know, it says something to the effect, were those days not shortened, there'd be no human being left. And so God does will intervene. But, you know, is it going to happen, you know, is it going to happen... this final battle, is it going to happen in our lifetimes? We really don't know. We really don't know. So, but I don't know. It's kind of an, you know, interesting thing. But the next 3 months, this election, it's going to tell basically whether, you know, because it's either going to happen sooner or it's going to happen later. Can't really predict it. But if Obama gets back in and is president 4 more years, if he gets back in office, all bets are off, and it's really safe to predict that things are really going to go to hell. And so you better be prepared for it, because it's you know, and of course there's a lot of people that aren't prepared, don't have a clue. They've lived lives that, you know, kind of programmed lives that are fairly easy. They're really easy lives. Things are kind of handed to them. Everything just sort of works. And when that all breaks, those people are really at a loss because of the division of labor and what have you. And a lot of people have been handed things. When things really break down, if civilization breaks, then, you know, just the transportation system would be just one example. If the transportation system were to fundamentally break down, there'd be people starving. And we don't have a clue. We've lived such easy lives. We have no clue what that would be like. We really don't. So I've been delivering stuff to these Walmart stores. And, you know, it kind of hit me today. You know, you hear this thing, you know, people will say, oh, those poor Walmart employees. You know, and a lot of times they're talking about the checkers or the stockers, and they'll say, oh, they don't pay those people much, and they don't, you know, they limit their hours, and they don't give them health insurance, and so on and so forth. And, you know, well, what's the alternative? You want those people on welfare? Is that what you want? You know, I think one of the reasons Walmart is, you know, liberals, you know, the liberal types tend to berate Walmart, hate Walmart. One of the reasons that they hate them is because they take kind of marginal people. In many cases, they're kind of taking marginal people and they're making them functional. They're taking kind of marginal people and making them functional. And I think that that is one thing that really rubs liberals the wrong way, because they would prefer that these people, these, you know, kind of marginal people, that they'd be angry because they're kind of marginal and angry because, you know, prefer the, to keep them angry, and then you keep people angry, you can keep them programmed. You know, keep them in a programmable state. You know, and if you have people that are really functional, really, you know, that really have ambition and so on and so forth, that work at a Walmart, you know, any kind of a Walmart position, those people are going to rise. They're going to become managers, or, you know, so they can rise within the organization. But I really think that that's one of the things that, these people probably couldn't put it into words. You could probably have a nice argument with them if you worded it right, but I think that's really one of the things that, if next time somebody says to you, well, they don't pay their people enough and blah, 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 you know, so on and so forth, well, just ask them, well, what do you want them to do? You want them to be on welfare? Would you rather that they just be angry and be on welfare? Is that what you want? So I really do think that's one of the reasons they hate Walmart, is because they take marginal people, lots of marginal people, and make them functional, and actually make them useful, and give them something useful to do, and they've been able to kind of take marginal people, in many cases a lot of marginal people, and make them functional. So, but I don't know. That's next time I end up in an argument with somebody like that, that I'm going to bring that up and just ask them, well, what do you want them? You want them on welfare? Is that what you want? Because they're kind of marginal. You know, because at the same time that they're saying, oh, they don't pay them enough, and then, you know, in the back of their mind, they're kind of judging those people, and they're saying, oh, they're, you know, the checker types. You know, people that are stocking the shelves or whatever. They're looking, as they do that, as they say they're not paying them enough, they're kind of looking down their nose at them. So, but, so I, it's really kind of an interesting thing. You know, you can, as I say, you can really tell a lot about people just by observing the way they react to certain things. And even if they can't put it into words themselves, you can still make the different observations. You know, different observations. And when I make observations, you know, it's, you know, I'm just kind of observing what's going on. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, it, like with this thing today, you know, it just kind of hit me that that's why they, you know, they're taking these marginal people, and they're kind of making them functional. And, you know, but otherwise, these people, what would they do? You know, and in some cases, they're making them really functional. So, typically, if there's something that's good, people people will either, you can take something good, and this is generally true, you know, something that's the truth, or something that's good, something that is really, it's fundamentally good. You can observe, you know, if some people will have a negative reaction to what, you know, to a good thing. You know, like, you take Ronald Reagan, for example. There are people that, to this day, hate his guts. And he was a really good guy. I mean, you know, that was an example. You know, you want a good an example of a good president, Ronald Reagan is it. You know, in our lifetimes. Ronald Reagan was a good man. And there are plenty of liberals that still, they just hate that man's guts. And you can just look at what these people react to and how they react to it. And that can tell you a lot about, you know, well, the Walmart thing. You know, that tells me, you know, just looking at that and looking at how they react and the arguments that they make, that tells me a lot about what it is they're reacting to. And if they react a certain way, then, you know, it's fascinating, you know, because sometimes it's kind of mysterious as to why they react the way they do, but I don't know. It's fun to, you know, kind of put these things together, and a lot of times I'll just kind of observe, and you know, and then all of a sudden, especially if I see something that's you know, a reaction that's kind of overboard one way or another, you know, I may just file that away. I just kind of notice it, and then maybe later on notice something else, and sooner or later, then, you know, all the pieces of the puzzle just kind of go together all on their own. And so anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off and then get it uploaded, see if I can't get headed to bed. And I'm sure they'll come up with another load to New Jersey. So that's probably what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. Tomorrow's actually today. It's Saturday now. So I think that's probably what I'll be doing. And you know, so it should be, like I say, this is kind of an interesting, sort of an interesting change of pace. But it's the only, again, the only downside, it's dangerously close to New York City. So, anyhow, hope everyone had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.